Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
I'm going to be in the book of Colossians tonight. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 3. I'll give you a couple of minutes to find your place there and find God's Word. I've been looking forward to this message. It is one that, as I read over it and studied it, it was an encouragement to me, and I believe it will be an encouragement to you as well. I believe it's something that we can all learn from. I believe it's something that God wants to work with in our lives, and He wants to use to improve our lives, to improve our relationship with Him, and to improve our relationship with one another. So from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, Paul says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which He have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and ye knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. When you hear the phrase, mature Christian, what image comes to mind? To some people, a mature Christian is someone who has been in church for X number of years. To some, a mature Christian is someone who studies routinely. To some, a mature Christian is someone who reaches out and does all kinds of real good works around the community and through the church. To some, a mature Christian is someone who is very structured in their stewardship with money as far as giving to the church and working in the church. Just about everyone you ask will have some different view and some contrasting view of a mature Christian. Well, what we see in our passage tonight is actually a prayer. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul was given through this letter to the church of Colossae, and in that prayer he was opening up, giving thanks to God for this church, giving thanks to God for these people and for what they meant to him and for what they meant to the work of Christ. And from that prayer, we find at least three attributes of a mature Christian. A mature Christian based on God's Word. Now there are many more attributes that are in this passage. And if you read the entire prayer, you will actually go through many more verses than where I stopped at. But when we're looking at what Paul is talking about, and when we're looking at his prayer, and when we're giving consideration to the mature Christian that he is discussing and that he's talking about and giving thanks for, we see from God's Word what God sees and what God looks for and what God understands to be a mature Christian. I wish I had time tonight to share with you everything that could be revealed in this, but obviously an evening service and in the middle of the week, there just isn't time to put that type of a message together. Maybe a series, maybe we can come back another day and pick up on some more of it. But for tonight, I want to share with you what I have found. As I expound upon it, and I pray that it's going to encourage you, I pray it's going to inspire you, I pray it's going to grow your walk in Christ, so So I want you to notice with me first tonight that a Christian with a mature walk knows when to give thanks. Knows when to give thanks. When we look at Paul's prayer, say, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith. When we recognize and we see other people that have a strong, sound footing of faith in the Word of God, we need to be thankful for those people. We need to be thankful for fellow Christians, for those who have a good, strong walk, for those who have shown themselves to be faithful Christians in attendance of God's house, faithful Christians in attendance to God's work, faithful Christians in attendance to the stewardship of everything that God has for the child of God to be a part of. We need to be thankful for those people. And it doesn't matter whether we agree with them or disagree with them personally or politically or anything else. God puts His people together and brings His congregations together. We are all the body of Christ. And we need to be lifting one another up. We need to be praying and giving thanks for one another. When we do it is when we have an opportunity to be thankful. That is when we see it, when it's placed before us. God places before us and in our presence on a very regular basis the opportunity to praise Him for those children of God and those fellow Christians that we have that He has put in our life. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be good stewards of the people that He has given. And how do we give thanks? That's something else we have to think of. When we look here, we look at what Paul is doing. Paul is giving thanks in a way that is humble. Paul isn't giving thanks in such a way that lifts himself up. Paul also is not giving thanks in such a way that lifts up the other people. Paul is giving thanks in a way that lifts up Jesus Christ, because Paul knows that it's Jesus Christ that has saved him, and Paul knows it's Jesus Christ that has saved the others that he is praying for. He knows that the people in the church of Colossae are saved by the same Jesus that saved him on the Damascus Road. There was no difference. They were all sinners. So Paul gives a thanks of humbleness and humility, but of praise to God. Humility to mankind for the fact that we are lost sinners. We are all lost sinners in need of a Redeemer. And those that were called to come to Jesus Christ in salvation and answered that call need to be thanked. God needs to be thanked for calling them. God needs to be glorified and God needs to be lifted up for calling them. We all have the opportunity every day to be thankful for people that God has placed in our lives. When I'm walking through the prison down here at Marion in the mornings, I go through the warehouse. And there's this black man there that works in the warehouse. His name is Willie. Willie is somewhere, he's a few years my senior, probably 60-ish. Willie is serving a 52-year sentence in prison. His crime is his crime. I've never asked. He's never offered to tell me. He's looking at 52 years. He told me he will probably die in prison. He told me that he will probably never get the opportunity for a parole. But when he got into prison, he said prison, he's told me in his testimony, prison was the best thing that ever happened to him. Were it not for prison and were it not for God handing him over to prison, he would have continued down the road that he was on till he took someone's life or he took his own life. He said God putting him in prison put him under control and under constraint. And when God put him under control and under constraint, the Holy Spirit took hold of his heart and he got saved. I thank God for people like Willie. Not because of what he did to get into prison, but because of what God has done in his life and the change that's been made. He may never see the light of day the rest of his life as far as freedom goes. But he is free in salvation in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he is freer tonight sitting in that prison over there watching television or reading his Bible than many people are that are traveling up and down 221 tonight because they are lost in sin, they are on their way to hell, they are unredeemed, or they are backslidden in God. I'm thankful for the people who have found Christ and for the testimony that they give. I thank God for that because it encourages me. It excites me to see what Jesus is doing in people's lives and what He's calling them to do and what He is bringing them out of. It's amazing. And it's something we ought to be giving God thanks for tonight. Number two, a Christian with a mature walk will build a sound testimony. Not because we have to build a sound testimony. Not because we want to build a sound testimony. We will build a sound testimony because God will work it through our lives. Because of what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross, God will work through our lives and our submission to Him will build that testimony. So, well, I don't know if I want to be submissive. Well, I've got news for you. You're not going to have a choice. If you're saved tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ, conviction from the Holy Spirit will pull you into submission to Christ. You can go willingly, or you can go after chastisement. But the Holy Spirit wants to pull you into submission to Christ because when you got saved, you changed owners. You changed owners. We hear a lot of talk today about slavery, about the way slavery had been handled in the past, and about all of the anthems to slavery, and about this to slavery, and that to slavery, and the other to slavery. Do you know that we live our lives enslaved to one of two eternal fathers? When we are born into this world, we are enslaved to Satan because we are born into sin. And we live that way until we are redeemed through Jesus Christ. And then we voluntarily hand ourselves over to a bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, we are owned. We are the slaves, the spiritual slaves, of one of two eternal figures, either Satan or Christ. It doesn't get any simpler than that. We have no choice in that matter. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we have a sin nature that is inherited to us and passed down from every generation to us and will be passed ahead to every generation beyond us. No one is saved out of pity or sympathy. No one is saved out of good works. No one is saved out of merit, or no one is saved because of a change in life and a turning over of a new leaf. We are saved only because we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and asked Him to forgive us of our sin. That's the only reason. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. Because of that salvation, because of our submission to Him, because of our request to be redeemed and be saved and be covered in the blood of Christ, we will build a testimony. Now, it may take God a while to work on some of us, but He will. What kind of testimony are we going to walk out into the world with tonight when we leave the church? What kind of a testimony did we walk in with? When people talk to us, when people hear us talking, do they hear someone who is exalting Jesus Christ? Do they hear someone that is born again by the blood of Christ? Or do they hear someone that's really wishy-washy? Do they hear someone that's uncertain? Do they hear someone that's unsure? Do they hear someone that's unkind, that's unloving? Or do they hear someone that has a heart for the lost, a heart for the Word of God, a heart for the work of God? That is the testimony that we build. A mature Christian builds that testimony knowingly by being submissive to Christ and by allowing the Word of God to work through our lives. How does the Word of God work through our lives? It works because we spend time in it. It works because we open it and we read it and we let it speak to our hearts and we study and we meditate on it. We spend time there. That's how it works in our lives. That's how God speaks to us. We open His Word and we let it speak to us. Not only do we build a sound testimony, but we respect a sound testimony. When we see it in other people, we respect that. We may find other things that we don't respect or that we don't care for, that we don't agree with, but if we see a sound testimony in their life, we should be respecting that testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Not everybody has a lovable personality. I know. Ask Lori. She'll tell you about mine. But the reality is, if you have a sound testimony of Jesus Christ, the personality, the other little quirks of who we are, kind of fall by the wayside. Jesus rises to the top. And it's Jesus who we see. It's Jesus who others see. Well, I said there were three. Here's number three. A Christian with a mature walk knows when to give hope. We have Jesus Christ living in our lives and in our heart. We know when to give thanks. We know how to give thanks. We know how to build and how to let God's Word build a testimony through our lives. We know how to respect others when we see that testimony in their lives. But through all of that, what does it all culminate in? Giving hope. Giving hope to other people. Giving hope to those who are lost, who do not know Christ and who don't know about Christ. The churches are all over the place. There's one on every corner and sometimes two. But there are people out there today that do not know about Jesus Christ and they're living in this county. I talk to them daily. I talk to officers. We put on a uniform every day and walk into the building. And I will talk with them about Christ and they'll say, I don't know, I've never really given much thought to it. I know the name, but I don't really know much more than the name. And I'll have an opportunity to share a little bit. I've talked to inmates that are the same way. They'll say, I don't know, I've heard the name, but I don't really know a whole lot about the name. I'll take the time to give it in. I'm sitting here thinking, my gosh, we live in a nation that was founded on the principles of Jesus Christ. We live in a nation that was founded on Christianity and founded on Christian principles. We live in a nation that has and in a county that has a church and sometimes two on every corner. And yet we have got young men and women that are coming into the workplace who will openly and admittedly say that they know nothing more about Jesus Christ than they've heard the name. Well, ask them, have you ever seen an old Billy Graham crusade? Who? It's amazing. A mature Christian knows when to give hope. When you run across someone that's needing hope, do you know how to recognize them? And if you do recognize them, are you willing to share the hope of Jesus Christ with them? Are you willing to share with them the importance of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to share with them the love of Jesus Christ and what He's done in your life? It is that hope that we share, that builds that testimony, that grows and plants the seed in someone's heart and life so that somewhere down the road that can be harvested as a soul that has been led to Christ. When we give hope, when we see that opportunity, how do we give it? We give it by just sharing what Jesus has done for me. You give it by sharing what Jesus has done for you, what He means to you, what he has saved you from, who you used to be, who you are now, the strength and the encouragement and the inspiration that you have in Jesus Christ. The world is falling apart and crumbling at the seams tonight. There are earthquakes. There are hurricanes. There's the threat and the drumbeats of war that are moving all around the world. There are things taking place and falling apart. There's all kinds of corruption and there's all kinds of hatred and anger moving around. But in the midst of all of that chaos, there is Jesus. And He is hope. He is hope. We have the opportunity tonight to walk away a more mature Christian. Are we going to take it? Are we going to walk away well-grounded? Are we going to walk away with a conviction? Are we going to walk away with a commitment to a better prayer life? Are we going to walk away with a commitment to be well-read from God's Word and allow that reading of God's Word and that prayer life to reflect daily from our lives? We have that opportunity tonight. We have that encouragement from God's Word to have the excitement of Jesus Christ bubbling out of us, to not let this other stuff pull us down and drag us down, but let Jesus Christ pick us up and lift us up tonight. Those that have a heart for Christ tonight are going to have an inspiration and an encouragement to move forward. Three applications of a mature Christian. Three of them. Of a Christian walk that's going to work in any believer's life. It's going to continue to give growth as long as we allow it the opportunity. What a blessing it is. What an evidence it is of a mature walk in Christ.